That was a beautiful song we were singing. I was sitting there thinking of the words. I about forgot I was supposed to come up here and preach because it's just so beautiful thinking about when we're going to fly away someday and go to heaven. So I've been doing a series on the minor prophets, and I hope you're getting something out of it. Some of the lessons are harder for me to put together because of the size of the book, and there's so much information in there. And I was studying this week to do Nahum, and there's a phrase that I came across that really struck me, and that phrase is, "I will dig your grave." And it's talking about God and his view of wickedness and how he's going to deal with it. But we aren't going to look at that tonight. We're going to take a break from the minor prophets. And I was working on this sermon for someone else that we were hoping was going to be here tonight. That person is not here. I think, though, this might be good for somebody else, and it'll give us a break from the minor prophets. And one other disclaimer before I get into the sermon. And I've mentioned before, when we would go and visit my mother-in-law in the nursing home, when we could go into the room on Sundays, and she would say, "Did you preach this morning?" And I would say, "Yes." And, "Are you going to preach tonight?" And I would say, "Yes." And, "Are you going to preach the same thing that you preached this morning?" And I would say, "Yes, I'll just change the title on it." And so the sermon this evening, I've used this title before, but it's going to be a different sermon. So when the load is too heavy to bear, and here's a picture of a ship that is going down in the water. I'd like for us to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks be given by many persons on your behalf for the gift granted to us through many." Sometimes we hear the expression that Christians should be the happiest people on the earth. And we should be happy. We have many reasons to be happy, but we are just not always going to be happy. And here the Apostle Paul, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble that we were in, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despaired even of life." Paul was to the point where he didn't even care about living because there were so many problems that he was facing and that were going on. I want us to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning at verse 30. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I don't mean to make light of anything that anybody is going through. We all go through different things at different times, and they're going to be different for each one of us. And why is that? Because our enemy knows us, and he knows where to come after us. You stop and you think of this list that I just read from Hebrews chapter 11. These were people that lived under the old law, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They did not have the promise that we have through Christ. They were faithful. They will receive the reward. But we have such a greater promise to motivate us to go through each day. But like I said, our enemy Satan knows each and every one of us. And never forget, there are three plans of attack that Satan has for each one of us. If we are out in the world and we aren't a member of the church, he's going to do everything that he can to keep us out of the church. Everything. He's going to work on your conscience. He's going to work on your mind. He's going to say, yeah, you ought to be a member of the church, but not today. Put it off. You've got plenty of time. He's going to try to keep us out in the world. Now, if we become a member of the church, what's he going to do? He's going to try to get us to go back into the world. Because we were in his army. We left his army. We went to the side where there's victory. And he doesn't like that. So he's going to try to get us to go back into the world. And he's going to do everything he can. He's going to say, don't study your Bible. Don't pray to God. Don't worry if you miss services. This isn't going to matter. That's going to matter. And before you know it, you're going to be back in the world doing what you did before. And if he can't succeed with that, the other thing he's going to do is work on us to make us worthless in the church, where we cannot be effective. And one way or the other, Satan is going to work on all of us. And sometimes that load that he places on us. And friends, we've got to realize when we wake up in the morning that Satan is out to get us. And if we don't realize that, he's got a good jump on our day on us. And we're going to be playing catch up, because he's going to start throwing stuff at us, and we're going to be reacting instead of being proactive. And that load that he lays on us is just going to make us heavier and heavier. And we're going to be like this ship that is sinking. There's going to be a load. There's going to be forces. There's going to be suffering that are external and internal forces. And have you ever felt like this, where we're just like some little insect and there's this giant foot just putting pressure down on us? Some of the things that we may be dealing with that's a challenge for us is the suffering from sinful behavior of others. If anybody has worked in any workplace where it was not 100% Christians, and you could have problems in a place like that too, there's going to be sinful behavior that goes on in those environments, and it's going to affect us. Again, Satan has his army out there. He has his army, and we might be having an extra load from the behavior of others. Our load might be heavier because of our own sin that we are carrying. And as I was talking this morning about repenting, if we don't repent of those sins that we have and get rid of them, if we keep those sins and carry them around on us, what are they going to do? They're just going to weigh us down. They're going to eat us up. We're going to decay. Our spirit is going to be rotten because we haven't dealt with the sin. It's like you have cancer. What do? Do you ignore it? No. You want to attack it and do everything you can to get rid of it. So we may have suffering. We may have an extra load that we are carrying because of the sins of others or because of our own sins. Or we may just be suffering and having an extra load just because we live in the world. And it's a cliche, but life is a package deal. We're going to have good and we're going to have bad. Do we get to choose how much of each? Nope. It's a package deal. And we need to learn how to deal with it, how to cope with it, how to bring glory to God when we have the good and when we have the bad, and how to make sure that we do not let Satan take advantage of us. Are all of our days going to be good? No, they're not. There's going to be some of those days. Have you ever talked to somebody and you say, how's your day going? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. It was just one of those days. We've heard that. Well, what do we do to deal with that? We remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, where we are to seek the kingdom first. We aren't to worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. And what happens? A lot of times we're sitting here tonight worrying about tomorrow, Monday. We're worrying about what happened Saturday. And Satan's got us right where he wants us, doing nothing. We aren't living in today. We aren't serving God. We don't have that joy in our heart. We aren't worshiping with all of our spirit. And chalk one up for Satan. We just got to understand our enemy. That's what he's going to do with us. There will be some of those days we must really trust in God. And we say we all trust in God. Well, how do we really trust in God? We act in spite of what might be scaring us or stopping us. We do things not because we like to do them. We do things because they're the right thing to do. We don't do things because we're looking for the praise of men. When we really trust in God, we don't care what man says. We don't care if they say, attaboy, or good job, or that was terrible. Any of those things, it doesn't matter. We just need to focus on God and what he says. We need to get a firm handle, get a grip on things, get a grip on life. And why don't so many people have a grip on life? Because they don't have a grip on God's word. And back to that ship, if it doesn't have a rudder, if it doesn't have a sail to direct it, what's it going to do? It's just going to be tossed back and forth, whichever way the wind's blowing. Whichever way the wind's blowing, the ship's going to go this way. Wind's blowing that way, the ship's going to go that way. And that's what so many people are like. Whatever people are saying today, that's the way we're going to go. People are saying this tomorrow, we're going to go that way. Friends, we shouldn't be like that. We need to have a grip on God's word, understand it, understand the strength in it, understand how it can build us up. Understand it gives us life, and that will give us direction. There'll be those days. We need to learn to really pray, to be in contact with our Father. We need to develop inner calm. Again, that comes from His Word. It comes from praying. and we need to have Christian friendships. Friends that are Christians, that we can talk to, that we can confide in. Do we have those? Do we talk if we have a problem? Who's the first person that we're going to think of going to? Is it somebody in the church? Or is it our neighbor? Is it our barber? Or whoever we see, the mailman, when we see him for 2 seconds? So I got to tell you about this. Friends, we need to develop friendships with Christians. And that way we build each other up. We build each other up and support each other. Don't give in to drama. So much of life is full of drama. And you know, years ago, I heard this saying, and again, this was years ago, it was, who needs soap operas when you work at this place? Whatever the place may be, there's just so much drama going on in people's lives. And again, that's going to distract us from serving God. We need to prepare and learn to handle difficult situations in life. We're going to have them. God's going to test us. He's going to test us. We can count on it. And when He tests us, after He tests us, what's He going to do? Is that it? We just sit back in a rocking chair? Nope. He's going to give us another test. And then He's going to give us another test and another test. And you stop and think about it. If you were a business owner and you had different jobs that you wanted to get accomplished, and you were going to reward people after they finished those jobs, you would test them to see what they were good at doing. You would want them to do that. You would want them to advance and to do more. I know when I was a manager and I had salespeople, my goal was to get them to increase their sales so they could sell more and more and more. The company would grow. Well, does that sound anything like the church? Jesus owns the church, the kingdom of heaven. He gives us talents. He wants to test us. He wants us to know what our abilities are. And what do? We go out and we share the gospel. Why did He tell us to go into all the world and to preach to every creature? He wants His kingdom to grow and to get larger. He doesn't want anybody to be saved. And if you have a company, no matter what you're selling, people can live without whatever any company is selling. We might like the product a lot, but they can live without that. Who can live without the gospel? If we don't have the gospel, we're all going to be lost. We're all going to end up in hell, in destruction. And Jesus gives us these tests, these trials to help us build our character to grow closer to Him. Now, one of the things that is key to so much of this, the handling the problems that we face every day, one of the keys to this is our thoughts. Our thoughts. And I've been reading several books the last couple of months just on how the mind works, and I find it very exciting. And this was a slide I put together. I've got a copy of this hanging over my desk, and it's to help me see from the Bible some of the things that the Bible teaches about our thoughts. And if you look at, I don't know the correct term for them, but you go online and you look up at these thought proteins, it's going to have all kinds of little fingers and things that go out. So we have good thoughts, we have bad thoughts. We have healthy thoughts, we have toxic thoughts. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Now, you look at this. I didn't count them up, but looking in verse 4, it says abide 3 times. In verse 5, it says abide 1 time. Verse 6, it says abide. Verse 7, it says abide. Verse 8, it says abide. I'm sorry, verse 9, it says abide. Verse 10, it says abide 2 times. So there's something important about abiding in Christ. There's a connection between abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. How do we abide in Christ? What does it mean to abide? Well, from this illustration, and again, this is so easy to understand. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We are the branches abiding in the vine. We have to be connected to Christ. And we don't use the word abide, abode, but not too long ago, a generation or so ago, it would not be uncommon to ask someone, instead of saying, where do you live? And I don't know what the slang for that is today. I know there's other phrases, but they might ask, where do you abide? Where do you live? Where do you dwell? Where do we dwell? Where do we abide? Is it on this street or that street? Or do we abide in Christ? Do we abide in Christ? Where do our thoughts dwell? Do our thoughts abide in Christ? Or do they abide in the world? The thoughts are the strongholds of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And you stop and think about that. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. If we were in a physical battle, we would see the enemy coming up. He might come after us with a gun, a sword, a knife. If it's a physical battle, we are going to see him. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. So where does this battle take place that Satan is fighting us? It's not out in the streets with sticks and stones and knives. It takes place in our mind. That's where the battle takes place. And Satan has captured so many people. And how has he been able to do that? Through our thoughts. Again, we need to have our senses trained between good and evil. What we see, what we hear, those things that are out there in the world. And one of the takeaways I got from one of the books I read, and again, these principles that this writer had all come from the Bible. They all come from the Bible. And one of them was keep a net over our mind. We need a net over our mind. When I was growing up and I'd hear the old preacher say, you know, people would talk about your mind, you need to have an open mind. And the preacher would say, yeah, I like to have an open window, but I keep a screen over it so the bugs don't get in. We like to have an open mind, but we need to keep a net over it so we don't let all the toxic thoughts from the world get into our mind. Because they'll get in there and they'll start spinning and growing, and Satan's just having a heyday, no matter what it is. No matter if it's how you're feeling, what you're thinking, he can immobilize you. He can make you fearful about other people. Anything he can change because we did not take every thought captive. Is that easy to do? No. Is it possible? We keep working on it. We keep working on it. And you know what? The more thoughts you take captive, the less thoughts are going to be a problem for you. And again, just like that testing and trials, the more he tries us, the more we grow, the stronger we get. And that's part of the life of a Christian. That's part of the life of a Christian. And that's why, as we become a Christian, and that desire for sin is not going to go away overnight, we're still going to battle it. Satan is still going to plant all kinds of negative, toxic thoughts and seeds in our head to let them grow. But the more we take them captive, as we mature as a Christian, those things that once were a challenge before, they aren't going to be a challenge anymore. Why? Because we've learned how to handle them. We've grown up. We've matured. We're taking on the mind of Christ. We're replacing our mind with the mind of Christ because we are abiding in Christ. So if we, just like in John chapter 15, those branches that aren't good, he's gonna take them out. And here it's not talking about thoughts, but I think we can make the parallel. If these thoughts that we have are not good, if they're toxic, if they're bad thoughts, we need to get rid of them. We need to prune them. We need to cut them out of our head. And if you do that with a shrub, with a tree, what's going to grow? There's going to be room for new growth. So we work at getting rid of that old dead stuff. It's just rotten. It's ugly to look at, doesn't serve any purpose. We got to cut it out, and then that'll let new growth come in. And that's going to be in Christ. And when we have toxic thoughts, we see in people that can cause harm and it can cause chaos. And you see so many people in life troubled from one extreme to the other. And again, so much of it goes back to the way they are thinking. A couple other verses to consider. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not me that's living. It's Christ is living in me. And that's, as we said this morning, that's where Christ reigns on the throne. And I think one of the problems we have in this society, we want instant coffee. We want it now. We want to go to a store and get in and out right now. And we're all like that. We're all like that. If I'm at McDonald's and going through the drive-thru and I see too many cars, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go somewhere and get something different or get something faster. We're just conditioned that way. But when it comes to being a Christian, we aren't going to be a mature, perfect Christian overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take going through some of these things. And God is going to help us. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God knows all about us before we were even born. And we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I shouldn't say we, I'll say I'll worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow in my life. And he's going to take care of it if I am abiding in him. Matthew 26:24, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So again, Satan is going to distract us, but we need to be sober-minded. We need to be watching. We need to be praying. Looking over a couple other verses here. Philippians 3:13-14. Talking about our attitude toward this. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And again, there are so many people, they can't enjoy today because they've got yesterday in a bag hanging over their shoulder. And they're dragging it along. They're worried about yesterday, what happened yesterday. And they're thinking about tomorrow. And they can't enjoy today. And they aren't serving God today. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You want a prescription for when the load is too heavy to bear, when we feel like we're sinking. And again, I understand some people, it's like they are just so anxious about life, it's hard for them to function. What's the answer to so many of our problems in life? You ask different people and they'll give you different answers. But the one answer to any problem we have is God. God can help us through it. God created us. He knows us. He knows any situation that we can be going through. He knows how to get us through that. If we abide in him, follow his word, and we may think, oh, this is the worst terrible thing I'm going to be in. It may even be the end of my life. But just think, if we are faithful through that, when we leave this life, being abiding in his word, death is that vehicle that takes us into eternity. And if we are faithful, we're going to go into paradise. Death is that vehicle that takes us into eternity. And if we are unfaithful, it's going to take us into eternal torment. Friends, we need to look to to God every day. We need to be mindful that Satan is out to get us every day. So many times it's not the big things. There's not some big flashing sign out there that says, warning, warning, warning. Satan's going to get you. It's going to be like a little pebble or a little stick that you trip over, you fall, you stumble. He takes his net, he snatches you, he's got you. He's got you. We need to keep our eyes wide open, keep our eyes, our heart in the Word, and God will see us through anything. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening and your life is not right with God, if you have sin in your life and you've never obeyed God, why are you putting it off? Everything is ready. The baptistry is ready. They're closed. You don't have to carry that load of sin. You can make your life right. Have that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that nobody else can enjoy. Will you have problems? You'll still have problems, but you'll have somebody that can get you through those problems. Or if you've done that and you've got sin in your life and you need prayers, or if you need prayers for encouragement, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.